Well, this morning, I'm talking on one of my not favourite topics. Have anybody got favourite topics that they like people to preach about? This is one I don't like preaching about, okay? It's kind of scary. Oh, look at that. Someone's gone and put that up there. There's a blank one, a couple of backs. So I'm talking on judgment today. The two judgments, end times. How many people really like the end times, reading Revelation and all that sort of stuff? How many people go, I'm just confused, I don't really know what it's talking about? Oh, man. I think for me, I'm a little bit scared about it because when I was seven, we watched a movie called Thief in the Night. And it scared the living socks out of me. It was, how many people remember Thief in the Night? You've been left behind. At 7 years old, it was. You could go Google and have a look at that. It probably won't scare you nowadays, but back then, man, it was scary. And like everybody, I find Revelation quite a hard one to understand because there's a whole lot of pictures going on. There's a whole lot of things that are possibly about the Romans coming in 17 AD, so you're not sure which is which. Some of it's the end. And I suppose what I do find is that I wonder whether we get it all right. And I don't think we do. And one of the things that makes me think we don't get it quite right is that if you read the Old Testament, there's a whole lot of prophecies, about 300 or so, about Jesus' coming. Okay, 300 or so. And when you look at them, you go, man, it was really obvious what was going to happen. But for the people that were living in the day of Jesus, they had no idea. And these were guys that had studied the Bible, knew all that. They knew that someone was coming as the Messiah, but he was going to reign. And there's all these things about it. And yet none of them really saw it. Even the disciples that traveled him for sort of 3 years where he's saying, you know, I'm going to die and all this. And they're going, I don't get this. Or, they're right there and they didn't get it and they got it wrong, didn't they? But when we look back in hindsight, we go, ooh, it all fits together. It all makes sense. And I think the end times are a little bit like that. We're looking at it, we're trying to work it out, but man, she's pretty difficult. But once we've gone through it all, we'll look around and go, man, he was right. Man, I didn't see that in that scripture there. If only I'd have taken a little bit more notice of that one or something like that. What I do know is that there's two judgments. And I've never talked about these two judgments. And I don't know about you, they're they can be quite scary. So let me just tell you a little bit about them. So the Bible talks about two judgments. Okay, one of them's called the judgment seat of Christ, and one of them's called the great white throne of judgment. And it could possibly be the same event. There's nothing to say that it isn't. Or it could be two separate events happening where we stand before God and are judged. Ooh, it's gone quiet. Ultimately, Romans 14:10 says this. So we don't condemn another believer. Why do you look down at another believer? Remember, we will all. I underline. Oh, okay, it hasn't come up yet. Here it comes. I underline all because I just wanted everybody to know that it involves everyone here in the room. All stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. Personal account. I don't know what that looks like. I'd always had this impression that when I stood before God to the judgment, I won't be able to say a thing. I'll be just shaking in my boots, just standing there. But this does say you're going to give a personal account. So I don't know how that looks or how that goes. You know, often people joke and say, you know, this video camera or screen will suddenly come up and all you've done will get shown. But all your thoughts will get shown too. And all the, oh, and you're going, oh my goodness, oh, I hope it's not like that. Look, I don't know how it's going to be, but we're going to give a personal account of our lives. Revelation 20, 11 says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they have done or had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." It's a really encouraging sermon this morning. I can see you all. And if this is your first time in church, sorry, it's not normally like this. It's just that every now and again, you got to do a little bit of a stock take, don't you? Once a year, you do a stock take, you go through all your stock. Well, this for us Christians is a bit of a stock take, okay? So I don't want you to stand there, or sit there. You're sitting, I'm standing. While I'm standing here, I don't want you to feel I don't want you to feel condemned, but I do want you to have a think. This is all about reflecting and going, okay, what does that mean for my life? The one thing about this is it's not about anybody else except you and your life. And how does your life stack up, and how are you going to go with this? The first judgment is a judgment of basically, do you know Christ or not? It's basically, the question is, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and had your sins forgiven? Basically, the first judgment is a judgment around your sin. And if you haven't dealt with your sin, then you stand before God guilty. The only way you can deal with your sin is through Jesus' blood, through Jesus' forgiveness. Our righteousness is of no real value. This judgment doesn't, in some ways, doesn't say, hey, if I've been good, I'm okay. This judgment is about, have you had your sins forgiven? Have you dealt with sin? Because sin has to be punished. So either way, we make a choice. Do I want to say, God, take away my sins. Jesus, forgive me of my sins so I stand before him clean. And really, it's about, have you accepted Jesus or not? It's as simple as that. It is not a salvation that you earn. It is a salvation purely based on accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and knowing that he has forgiven your sins. I've been forgiven. You stand there and God looks down and sort of sees, man, you've sinned. And Jesus steps forward and says, it's all right. I paid the price for his or her sin. They're not guilty. That's this judgment seat where God steps in, Jesus steps in and says, I paid the price. Why did he pay the price? He lived a sinless life and he died. He should never have died. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? For our wages, for what we've done, wages, what you earn is for your sin, which all of us have done. We've all done something wrong. In fact, probably done a few more things than just one. In fact, I know a few of you have done a lot more than that. Well, our sin means that we're guilty, that sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. That death is separation from God. So we've got no way of getting into heaven unless Jesus forgives us. And we do a transaction where we ask Jesus to forgive us and take away our sins. And the fascinating thing is God forgives us, past, present, and future. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all your future sins. Back then, he's paying for all your sins, my sins. So it's saying, I want to accept that transaction. You've got to accept that transaction, then you stand before God. In fact, I don't think you'll be at that judgment. That's my personal opinion. But you will stand there and God will go, you're fine. You're through. And it's a little bit like in a picture, and this is me just trying to give a little picture to understand. It's like it's the entry at the gates. Yes, you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, you can come into heaven. So even though I joke to people and say that if I'm on the gate at heaven, I'll let you in, it's not true. I won't have any way of letting you in or not letting you in. Are you doing all right? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and died a sinner's death when he had no sin and therefore paid for our sin. By faith, we accept God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It's a faith step. And, you know, the answer to this is that I've given my heart to Jesus. Now, there is a little bit I'm just going to throw in here because I just want you to go away and think about it. Is in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And it says this: not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons and in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I'm just putting that one out there because you can never think about that one. But there is this need for us to keep walking with God, I think. If you want to know my opinion on once saved, always saved? No. Well, I've got someone else's opinion there. Theirs is a no. I have trouble believing that you can get saved once and it works. Except that I do believe that my forgiveness that God gives me is for all my sin, past, present, and future. And so if I was to sin in the future and then Jesus comes back and I don't have time to do something with it, I don't think it matters because I think God forgives your sin, past, present, or future. So there is something about walking in faith and believing. And right throughout the Bible, there's some interesting ones that will make you think. Solomon, it's obviously at the end of his life that he walked away from God. But I'm expecting to find him in heaven. Why is that? I don't know, I just am. so our forgiveness is very powerful. And I think the importance for us in this is to go, okay, it's about concentrating on the second judgment. Okay, the second judgment. And this is where basically God judges all the people who have made it through the gate. The second judgment. Can I just say something about the first one? There's no second chance. God will judge correctly. Yeah, you know, I think for all of us, we've got things where, well, what about the person who never got to hear the gospel? What about the... I think God will judge right. I just want to make sure that I'm in the right place and that I get it right. But in a sense, I don't think I'm the judge. I can't be the judge. I don't have enough information to judge. Neither do you or you either. We've got to give it back to God. But we do know that if you've had the gospel, you're going to be accountable for what you know. So sorry to everybody here. You know the gospel. You've had the opportunity. And you get that free choice. And that free choice is a great thing. I think it's an important thing. And to me, it has to be a real free choice. Otherwise, you're a puppet on a string. So you get a choice. Yes, I accept, or no, I don't. It's not about being a nice person. For me, sometimes funerals are really sad because when I look at it, I go, wow, I don't think they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In saying that, I don't know. One of the things, if you've listened to Pastor Ian McCormick's testimony, is that in his last minute, as he was going to the hospital, he said a prayer. And you don't know what someone does in their last minutes. I think it's a risky sort of plan for your life to go, well, I'll just do it in that last minute. It's a pretty risky sort of going, well, when I'm just about to die, then I'll do it. Oh, I think that's a risky strategy. okay? I'm just saying. I mean, look, no one likes finality. And look, a lot of the things going around now is, oh, God wouldn't send people to hell. And I've heard a lot of even Christians starting to go, they don't believe in hell. And I have real trouble with that because, you know, if you read, Jesus was strongly talked about hell and separation. I think it is a real place. Now, I don't want to scare somebody in there. And possibly out of that, I probably wouldn't talk about it a lot. But for me and motivating me, I go, man, this is real. This is something. And I don't know if you ever saw the guy Chan did a thing with a rope going, if a rope's eternity, and he put a little string around this little rope and said, here's our life here. It's just a moment in time, and then eternity is how long this piece of rope goes on and on and on and on. Well, I do believe it's for eternity. Okay. You all okay? No one got up and walked out, so that's a good start. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this: for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in the earthly body. The second judgment is for those who passed the first, and this is about what did you do with what I gave you? This is God asking you and me, personally, what did you do with what God gave you? It's an assignment. It's a reward sentence, sort of a reward service. Sometimes I think for us in the Western world, we have life so good, we probably don't think about eternity as much as they did in the New Testament. Life in the New Testament was pretty hard. In fact, for most people, you know, even some of the people in the third world possibly have a better life, and even that's possibly pushing it. The life was bad. We live in this beautiful city. We have so many material things. We actually are quite relaxed and quite enjoying life. And we have all these mod cons, and so we probably don't think about eternity as much as what they did back then. Because they had such a horrible life, they were thinking, man, I can't wait to get to heaven. You know, I can't wait to get there. Whereas some of us sit there going, man, I can't even imagine things being better than some of the stuff that we have down on earth now and some of the things that I've experienced. And so I think that at times just makes us lull into a little bit of, oh, it's all right. I've got plenty of time. Does it really matter? This is a good life. In Matthew 16:27, it says, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in glory, the glory of his Father, and will judge people according to your deeds. And Revelation 22:12 says, look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. So this judgment is all about what have you done with what God's given you. And you stand, and that's where you're giving this account. Where you're saying, God, this is my life. You gave me this. You gave me this talent. You gave me these abilities. You did this in my life. This is what I've done with my life. It's about what you did with the resources you had, the decisions you made. I think it's about how you've imparted into the next generation, your children and your children's children. I think there's a whole raft of things. It looks at all sorts of things. And probably 1 Corinthians 3 is one of the best ways to have a look at what it's looking at. And so let me just read 1 Corinthians 3:10. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. So we start with, hey, we're building on him. We've made our relationship with him. We live for him. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up and the builder will suffer great loss, the builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. It's good just to read the scriptures now and again, isn't it? Just to go, God, speak to me, talk to me. So let's just think about this. This is using a building picture to look at our lives on what we're building and what we're doing with our lives. And the question is what's the wood, hay, and stubble? Because we know that the wood, hay, and straw in a fire is going to burn, isn't it? You put the fire on, it's gone. In fact, it helps the fire burn better. The other things like gold and silver and jewels, you put them through the fire and it actually purifies them. It actually, they come out still there. So if you have a fire in your house, if you can pick through and find it, you can probably find the gold and the silver and the jewels because it'll be still there. So what are all these things that are wood, hay, and straw? I use stubble because that's the old King James there again. What is that? So I'm just going to throw out some questions and you can just think about that. Is it about the attitude in which we've done things? So we look at what we've done and I did or doing. What am I doing? And what of that is going to be valuable to God? What of the stuff that I do that's not valuable to God? How's he going to look at it? I've always said there's things for me that are of most value. One is your relationship with God, because that's eternal. And in fact, in looking at this, it makes me reflect on what's eternal. What are the eternal things? So your relationship with God has an eternal purpose. When you die, that still goes on. People. Your input into people has an eternal value. Because that is what goes into the next stage, eternity. People, people get to go. People are influenced. I don't think there's a lot much more else that goes on. My car? Mm-mm-mm. My house? Mm-mm-mm. It's not much else that you get to take into eternity, isn't it? Oh, it makes you feel bankrupt, doesn't it? It's all going to burn. It's all going to disappear. It's not going to mean anything. Yeah. So here's your question. What are you building that's of eternal value? What are you building of eternal value? I know some people say, well, look, I want to be humble and, it's not about the reward and I serve God not because of the reward, but my answer to that is, if you're wanting to please God, then you work out what pleases him. And what he rewards is what he's pleased with. So the reward is all about going, hey, I'm pleased God. If you actually get to heaven and you get no reward, then the issue is, I don't think I please God. So, what have you got? So I've got in here, I think, the attitude in which you do things. I think that's something God looks at. So you might do something that's really good, even for a person, but you do it with a bad attitude. Might devalue the reward. I don't know the percentages, but I think it might have a little bit of an effect on it. What about the motive you did it for? Oh, I did it so that everyone could see. I did it so that people could see what I've done. So they went, yay, look at them, they're awesome. And the Bible source, I think, talks about them, well, they've got their reward. If you're doing it for the praise of men, then that's the reward, the praise of men. So what's your motive? But you can't sit there and judge everyone else's motive, because I don't think you know a motive. And for me, when it comes to motive, if I'm doing something and I catch myself I've got a wrong motive, just quickly change your motive. Sorry, God, I got my wrong motive, but I'm going to do this because this is an important thing to do. So don't stop doing the good thing. Just change the motive for doing the good thing. Is it about whether God's asked you to do it or not? Are we running around doing things that God doesn't want us to do? Well, I never asked you to do that. Or is it about the things that he's asked us to do that we're not doing? Oh, that's scary, isn't it? It's about obedience. Are you doing what God's asked you to do? Here's a good one. Did you do it without complaining? Does complaining mean that it has no value? God got pretty ticked off with Israel with all their complaining. Remind you, stop complaining. Don't complain. Is it about seen and unseen? Heart things. Prayer. What you've done in secret. Yeah, I think so. That's why we live our life for God, not for people. You know, the picture I got for this is, and this is where this scares me, because I don't want people to just go, oh, I'm going to go after good works, because I think that mucks it all up in one sense. It's about going, God, I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to do what your word says to do. I want to live that way. But all the time, if you were here a few weeks back and I talked about we live below the line, we never make it. We need God's Holy Spirit to make it. And it's no good sitting there condemned at yourself, because you're going to make mistakes. For me, grace is a little bit like, the grace is always there. God's grace is always there for you. It's always there, God's grace. It's an amazing thing. But it's like being on a trapeze, you know, and doing acrobats on the trapeze. You don't want to fall off, but it's okay if you do. They've got a net down below. You know, you don't want to make a mistake. You want to live for God, and you live in that way. But look, you will make mistakes. You will miss the mark sometimes. You will slip in. And the great thing is God's grace catches you. It's a great picture. God's grace is there. You don't want to fall off, but you look, that's just the way life goes. And you come back to God and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, help me. Fire reveals true value. I don't want to just make it. I want to make it. I'd be better off just to make it. But I just don't want to just make it. Matthew 7:1-2. Here's just a few other things that I thought it would good to be aware of when it comes to this judgment seat. Because I think these things affect what happens for us when we get to that. Giving a personal account. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging, is the standard by which you will be judged. You want to get judged well? Don't judge other people. Don't judge other people. The only areas you have to judge is where you're responsible, where it's your behavior, where you have a part in it. Outside of that, I'd stay away from making judgments. Because there's too many things we don't know. And God looks down and you're going, that person shouldn't have done that. But you don't know what that person's gone through and why they're at that situation. You don't know what they've faced in life. You've got no idea. And most of us, when we've sat down and had a conversation with a person and they start to share their life story, we often go, wow, I never realized that. Yet we're putting all these judgments on these people we hardly know. You're better not to judge. Other thing I think you should be aware of, the parable of the talents. So Matthew 25, I haven't got these scriptures, but Matthew 25:14-30 and Luke 19:12-28 talks about the talents, and it talks about some servants. It's an illustration of the kingdom of God. And the servants were given money and they had to do something with it. Okay? The stories are quite different. One story talks about them getting I think five talents, two talents, one talent. Okay? And basically it seems that if the five person doubled it and the two person doubled it, they got the same reward. That's what it appears like. And then there's ones where they were all given, in fact there's 10 people, it says, were given, 10 servants were given one talent each. And one person multiplied it to 10 and one person multiplied theirs to 5 and one person didn't multiply theirs at all. And the reward for the one who multiplied from 1 to 10 was bigger than they got to rule over 10 cities. The one who multiplied it from 1 to 5, I'm spitting really well, 1 to 5, they got to look after 5 cities. So there was something about the reward that was based on what the person had done with what they'd had. The thing is that I don't think we can judge each other because we've all been given different talents, abilities, situations, opportunities. When it comes to this, you're really, God's judging you based on what you've done with the potential of what you could have done. He's looking at what have you done with what you've been given? And out of that, the reward comes. And I think that's a real challenge to us because I feel for us in the Western world, we've been given a lot. We've been given a fair amount. What are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with what you've got? I also have this little thing that... And I've only got an inkling of a scripture that I'll take you to believe this, but I think too that when you die, that's not the end of what your reward could be. Because my belief is that your reward is multiplying on, depending on what's left. And my basis for that is Hebrews 11:39-40. Let me read you this. All these people, so if you know Hebrews 11, it's about all the great people in the Bible that did all sorts of heroic things by faith. And some of them that didn't get to see the promises they believed for. Right at the end it says this, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Oh, there's something. Faith. So reward could be related to faith. How much faith you've lived by. Anyhow, that's just a thought. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us. So he's looking at them saying they haven't received what God's promised because what happens for us, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. So there's some sort of combination in what they've done and what we do with what they've done. Which tells me that what goes on before us or after us, what goes on after us, is of importance. The bottom line is that when we get to heaven, we will say, true and righteous are your judgments, God. God will get it right. And I don't think this is something that I was a bit worried people would go out going, oh my, I'm going to have to watch what I do all the time. Watch what I say, because I'm judged about what I say too. That's in there somewhere. Well, and freeze up. I want you to live in freedom. We live in freedom, and we have a desire to serve God. Here's my main thing. Keep your heart right before God. If you keep your heart right and your spirit right, and you follow, you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you're on the right track. If you keep short accounts, when you know you've gone off track, you quickly go, God, please forgive me. Help me, God, to live the way you want me. And get back on track and believe you're back on track. Then that will make the difference as you walk this walk.